Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching's difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This teaching's difficult. Who can accept it? So many disciples turned back and no longer went with Jesus. And Jesus asked, "Do you wish to go away too?" Every day, you and I decide whether we're going to walk with Jesus or walk away. And faith is a struggle. Doubt infects every aspect of our life. Doubt is the deadly seed which grows into anger, fear, and anxiety. Anger, fear, and anxiety then produce the false self, the self which we create, the ego, to protect us from our wounds and, unfortunately, hurt ourselves and hurt others. Jesus has come to set us free from sin and death, and when he has come to make us is what we were created to be. So we are not the image of God that we're supposed to be. We're this entity which is self-generated and self-created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens, or the spiritual realm, and the earth, the material realm. And the heavens are filled with spiritual beings. Some of them are rebellious gods. They're called principalities, powers, and rulers in Ephesians. They're called demons in the gospel. And then there's others who are faithful. Typically, they're referred to as angels. Most modern people really don't believe either one exists. And most modern Christians aren't really sure what to do with the idea of gods and goddesses and demons and angels. Now, one thing that science has shown pretty consistently is that what you believe affects what you see. What you believe affects what you see. And it's also demonstrated that our perceptions of physical phenomena are very faulty. And I'm posting 3 days of teaching on this with all sorts of footnotes for you to go to websites where you can see this demonstrated. We know that our human perceptions are affected by beliefs. Literally, there are people in this world who cannot see the color blue because in their culture they don't have the word blue. And we know that a lot of times, because we're focused elsewhere, we don't see things. For example, when you're driving, right? And you said, did you see that? And the person driving said, no. And you're thinking, what in the heck are you looking at while you're driving? And the fact is, they're looking at other things, and so something standing on the side of the road, they don't see it. So we tend not to see things, even obvious things, based on our focus and our beliefs. So it's not at all illogical that secular people would be blind to spiritual realities, unable to see them, unable to believe in them. But what we forget is all of us are infected to some degree with this materialism. Most Christians are unable to see, to discern, to experience spiritual realities. And I dare say, without fear of anyone disagreeing, most of us have a hard time reading the Bible. And a large part of it has to do with the fact that so much of the Bible is written from a Middle Eastern ancient perspective. Oh, and by the way, it's in another language. So the other gods are involved in the world. And I think they're real. I really believe they're real. And if you're trying to make sense of what's going on in Afghanistan, I think that's a better explanation than most of the political stuff I hear bandied about. The covenant of Joshua 24 is based on the question, will you serve God sincerely and faithfully? Sounds like the baptismal covenant, doesn't it? Will you serve God faithfully and sincerely? Will you put away the other gods? And because the other gods are real and they don't want to be put away, they kind of push back. They're not going to let us just walk away. And human beings are drawn to the other gods because they make promises. Like God says, pick up your cross and follow me. They say, have I got a deal for you? This struggle to choose God or the gods with a small g is called spiritual warfare. It's a major aspect of spiritual warfare. And Ephesians lays out a metaphor for us to understand it. The key is our thoughts and our desires. Spiritual warfare is a lot of things. I have an hour's worth of material. I just spent an hour and a half teaching it. And it's like, this is the intro, an hour and a half. You're getting the 6-minute version. All right. Our thoughts and our desires are the key for whether or not we turn to the Lord or turn away from the Lord. So the spiritual warfare, the primary battlefield, is our heart. In our heart, our soul, our spirit, our mind, how we think, how we feel, what we desire, all those things, the entire inner person. In the process of choosing God through Jesus is explained by Paul through the illustration of armor. But if you really want to understand it, go through and black out all the armor imagery. And just look at the list of things he says. And here's what he says. It's a way of life. Christianity is a way of life. It's called the way. And it protects us from the enemy outside the world, the enemy inside, the flesh, our own selves, and the spiritual forces that worked against us, the principalities and powers, the demonic evils. And what Paul says is this, and it sounds similar to what Father Christian said last week. We live in evil days. Really? Well, I hadn't caught that. So we have to take a stand. We have to take a stand. We prefer to take a sit and talk about how bad things are. One of my friends posted on Facebook today a litany of complaints from a right-wing Christian perspective. And he got all these amens from, they're all my former classmates from 1974. And I just wanted to write down, apparently you guys never learned any history, because if you think these are the darkest days ever, like this is nothing. In fact, it's nothing compared to what's going to be revealed in the next few years. These are not, by any stretch of the imagination, really out of the norm days. So we need to take a stand and stand firm. We need to seek and embrace the truth. We need to stop caring about what I think and believe and figure out what reality is, what the truth is. and figured this as a percentage. 25% of what you hold as a belief is not true or it's wrong. And based on input from family members, it's actually 75%, so I'm giving you a higher grade than they would. Seek and embrace the truth. Get into right relationship with God. What's right relationship with God? If you're giving him a to-do list, you got it backwards. Backwards. When we pray, it's not to tell him what to do. But we are Americans, after all, and we go right to the top and take care of business that way. Proclaim the gospel to others if you want to believe it yourself. You want to know why we have a hard time believing it? Because we never tell anybody about it. We can't trick ourselves. I've said more than once, if a woman in this church finds a place where there's purses on sale or shoes on sale for a ridiculously low price, there's going to be 10 other people find out about it. What do we tell other people about Jesus? Nothing. Because, well, you know, we don't want to impose our beliefs on others. And the same people tell me that are constantly telling me things I need to be doing. Stop lying to yourself. Proclaim the gospel. Paul says, trust God and remember he saves you. He saves us. Remember it, believe it. And salvation means you're healed. You are part of his victory. You've been rescued. Live by like someone who believes that God has done that. Live a trusting faith. Read your Bible every day and pray. I've been asked about this. The mandate is everyone's supposed to wear them. I'm not enforcing it. I've spent 20 years telling you all to pray, and you don't pray. I'll be doggone if I'm going to tell people to wear a mask when I can't get them to do the most important thing, which is a prayer life. And so some people say they're not coming to church. Fine. This will not be my legacy. I'm wearing it, but this is not my legacy. Here's my legacy. If you're praying 1 hour a day, that's 4% of your day. If someone brings you food to your table, you give them a 20% tip. Unless you're cheap, I guess you still do 15%. And it's going to be 25% soon. I see this trajectory. So we give them 20% and we give God what? 15 minutes is 1% of your day. A lot of us are given decimal places. Pray every day. Read the Bible. And when you say, I don't understand the Bible, for a minimal cost, you can buy a Bible with the answers at the bottom of the page. Or, I don't know, you could go to a Bible study. Or you could turn on Facebook. I'm there 4 days a week, 5 days a week. Or you could call me up with your questions. We need to take seriously that our battle is not with the people we disagree with. That's what Paul says. In fact, the principalities and powers want you to hate other people. Like they like when Proud Boys and BLM people are burning buildings down and attacking each other. They like when people in Afghanistan are trying to hang on to think about that, trying to hang on to an airplane flying 400 miles per hour or whatever. I mean, that's what the principalities and powers want, and we need to be against that. But I want to be clear, the horror of Afghanistan and the horror of Haiti are manifestations of very real spiritual forces and entities, existing entities at work in the world, and our feeble human politics can never and will never address the real evil of the world. Period. End of discussion. There's never been a time in history where any thinking person said, finally. The battle is never done. Now, the global issues we deal with cannot be dealt with by us. But each individual can make a personal decision. Will I choose Jesus? Will I choose God? And before the church and nation can say yes, each one of us must say yes. But saying yes is empty unless if we are faithful. We need to stand for Jesus. And so now we'll stand for the creed.